You guys have ever wondered how awkward of a moment that is? It is. And they were not laying on hands, they were leaning on backs is what they were doing, in case you're wondering. Now what? That's it, right? 3.5 years, Cap City's been working meticulously for this moment. Now what? Time for the future, right? Maybe not. Let's go a different direction. Have you ever been to a wedding? Maybe you've been to a wedding, maybe you've been in a wedding, maybe you've been married, I don't know, but there's this moment that happens in a wedding ceremony that I think it's strange. You don't think it's strange, it's normal. You've just kind of gone past it. I'm strange, I think it's strange, all right? And so there's this moment, it happens in the middle of the service as the groom and the bride exchange rings. Now that's not strange, that's kind of normal, okay? It's not strange that the two of them would exchange a gift in the middle of the ceremony where they're making these commitments to one another. That's not strange. But typically when I do a wedding, I'm gonna read something along these lines, okay? I'm gonna say to them, as you wear these rings, whether together or apart for a moment, may they be constant reminders of these glad promises that you're making today. I think that's strange. That word reminders to me is strange. Why would newlyweds need to do something in this moment so that in the future they would be able to remember? Why would newlyweds need to be reminded about the biggest day of their lives and these massive commitments that they've made? Because it's already a huge moment. They've planned for it for months, if not years. They've brought together their friends and their family, the most important people in their life, into this moment to witness because it's so very big. It's super huge. Monumental moment that's going to shape the rest of their lives. And there's a minister there that's with them. And he says that there's going to be a day when they're going to need to remember that they got married. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? The minister suggests that one day you're going to need to be able to look back at this moment and remember these vows. A husband and a wife, they couldn't possibly forget their wedding and the promises they made to each other, right? You know that it sometimes happens. Sometimes people forget. In fact, you know the stories. Maybe it's your story. And forgetting leads to sin, and it leads to a long line of pain for more than just the married couple. Because bad things happen when people forget. And so we need reminders. It's partly why we gave a key ring away a couple weeks ago. We have more of those black, little circular black key rings. We've got them in our welcome center. If you didn't grab one, or if you want one, if you want to look at one, go grab one after the service. But it serves as a simple reminder of this church and what we're about, and even more so, they serve as a reminder of who our God is, a God who is full of truth and grace. Now, if you've ever experienced the grace of this God, if you've ever come face to face with God's truth, you couldn't possibly forget, right? Surely that moment would be so significant, so powerful, so heavy on you and on your soul that you would live in the constant memory. So why in the world do we need to give you a keychain? Why in the world do we need to do something to make it so that you are reminded? It's because sometimes people forget. And forgetting leads to sin, and sin leads to consequences. And it's not good for you to forget what God's done. Bad things happen when people forget. And so Doc has spent a lot of time this last month in July building up to this very specific moment where Doc looked to the future. He asked the question, are Cap City's best days behind us or in front of us? And he took it even further. He asked, does God want our best days to be in front of us or back behind us? And we even signed these posters last week where we made commitments to be all in here at Cap City. It's incredible. The posters are already in the back foyer as you come in. If you didn't get to see them, I encourage you to go check them out. I think it looks awesome. Powerful. And if you didn't get to sign them, maybe you weren't here last week, you want to sign them today, there's markers sitting out by them where you can go sign them today. And I should tell you, Doc made a big deal about this last week. You don't have to sign all of them. You can sign one. You don't get to pick and choose which one like you agree with. You're signing all of them. So some of you need to get that straight. Anyways, Now, what I think is fascinating is that this month of July, Doc excitedly looked forward at the future of this church. And I appreciate that. That's meaningful to me. He's done a great job of setting me up for success. It's been great. And my role now is to look forward. My job and what I'm supposed to do and what I have to be for this church is someone who's going to be looking forward and seeing what's next. But there's something really big and important about looking backward and remembering. And if you look at the Old Testament, there's going to be several leadership transitions that are paired with that word remember. Because sometimes people forget. And forgetting leads to sin. Bad things happen when people forget. So in Deuteronomy 32, Moses is finishing his leadership over the nation of Israel. He's accomplished a lot with them over his lifetime, but it's the end of his time. It's time for him to hand it off to this guy named Joshua. And God gives Moses a song that he's supposed to teach the nation of Israel. And the song itself is this warning to the future. But in this warning, in this strange song that he's supposed to teach them, there's a key word. And it doesn't look forward to the future. It doesn't even look backwards in the context of like a warning of the future. But instead, it's looking backwards, and it's that word remember. He tells them in this song to remember the days of old. Why? Why do they need to remember? Because sometimes people forget. And the very reason that Moses had to lead the Israelites for 40 years through a desert was because they had forgotten God within days of escaping Egypt. What should have been a very short trip to the promised land turned into 40 years of wandering because they were impatient with Moses while he's up on this mountain and he's talking to God, and they begin worshiping this fake God that they made on the spot. And they forget God, even though he was physically with them, present with them, leading them and protecting them. And that forgetting led to sin. And so God punished a generation with a desert. Bad things happen when people forget. And then you fast forward to Joshua 1. It's right after Moses' speech. It's some of Joshua's first words as the new leader for the nation of Israel. He's replacing Moses. It's a key moment with the people who are looking to the future. And he starts by telling them to look backward. He says, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. Remember. Why? Why do we need to look backwards? It's because sometimes people forget. And it's a warning to the nation to not replay their past and their forgetting of their God, because forgetting leads to sin and bad things happen when people forget. Later, at the end of Joshua, chapter 23, he's now finished his time as a leader, and he's getting ready to hand it off. He's getting ready to step out. And this whole section, chapter 23, is titled Joshua's Farewell to the Leaders. And the nation wants to know what's next. They're looking forward. And so Joshua says, remember. They're ready to look to the future, and Joshua tells them, no, keep the past in your prime view. Remember how I have allotted an inheritance for your tribes, which is him basically saying, remember how God has blessed you and the promises he has made to you about this promised land. Why? Why do we remember? It's because sometimes people forget. And this may be a spoiler to you, but the nation of Israel and their relationship with God is a story of forgetting and then struggling because they forgot. Their forgetfulness leads them to sin, and they endure a lot of pain and a lot of suffering because of their forgetting, because bad things happen when people forget. It's actually a theme to the whole Old Testament. It's everywhere. Some people even put it this way. Israel doesn't have a history. They have a memory. To Jews, the past and the present are closely linked together. It impacts their present and their future. They have a memory, not a history. But it isn't some sort of an idea that they came up with. It's not like they just value it in that kind of way, okay, where they decide they're going to care deeply about this stuff. Remembering is something that God had commanded them. There's a Hebrew word for it in the Old Testament, zakar. It shows up 231 times in the Old Testament. And sometimes when that word shows up, it's about God remembering. Sometimes he has to remember his people or his covenant or his promises. But mostly, most of the time, when this word is used, it's God telling the people to remember. God commands them to remember his commands. They respond in some very strange but practical ways, okay? And so they put stuff with like clothing. They take their clothes and they leave these long tassels hanging off, which were reminders to them of the things that God had said to them before. They made these small little boxes and strapped them to their heads, and they would roll up small pieces of scripture and put in these boxes so that it was symbolic of scripture just kind of being on their minds at all times as these little reminders. They would write scripture on the door frames around in their home, and when they'd walk through doorways, they'd just kind of reach up and high five or slap the door frame every time they walked through as a way to remind themselves of God and his commands. Same kind of concept we see in our culture today with stuff like tattoos, maybe. Maybe you know someone who's got a cross or a fish or some sort of a scripture that's written on their body. It serves as a reminder. The same thing we see every year around Lent with ashes and the form of a cross on the forehead. Remembering in physical ways. It's more than that, though. God tells them to remember all sorts of stuff, not just the commands. He tells them to remember the day of Exodus, and he tells them to remember their condition that they had in Egypt, and he tells them to remember what he did to Pharaoh, and he tells them to remember what he had led, or that he had led them for 40 years in this desert. And one of the biggest themes is God telling his people to remember his provision and his care for this people. He wanted them to remember how he had cared for them and taken care of them for so many years. In fact, part of the remembering causes God to tell the people to throw parties, festivals, all the time. He institutes holidays, parties, festivals for his people as ways of remembering. So he tells them to have a feast called the Passover, and it was supposed to be a remembrance. It was for them to be able to recall back to that time when God led his people out of slavery and out of oppression in Egypt, and he led them into freedom and into their promised land. He had another feast called Tabernacles, which was a different kind of a holiday where they remembered how the Israelites didn't go straight to the promised land, but they wandered in the desert for 40 years in these temporary dwellings. And as they're wandering around, they were being sustained and cared for daily by God himself. God wanted them to remember that these festivals, these holidays, were all about the nation remembering him and his saving power and his miraculous provision in the lives of his people. We do that too. And so we have things like Memorial Day and Veterans Day and Labor Day and Festivus, right? And we have bigger holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter, each of them causing us to remember something. God commands his people to remember specific events, and I think God wants us in a very similar way to remember. Because what's happened in the past isn't just something that we should know with facts and details. What's happened in the past actually has bearing on us. It has relevance for our lives today and tomorrow. And so on a day like this here at Cap City, where people want to desperately know what's coming next, they want to be able to look forward and know what's coming, we need to start by remembering. Because we can't know what's next. There's a really big idea here that you've got to catch, okay? The best way for us to know what God is going to do in the future, and this is true if you want to know what's God going to do for your future, or what he's going to do for my future, what he's going to do for this church, the best way for us to know what God is going to do in the future is if we look backwards and see the things that he's already done. The best way to know what God is going to do in the future is to look backwards and see what he's already done. Remembering is what gives us confidence for the future. And it's not limited to the Old Testament. The New Testament gets really serious about remembering as well. It's in Jesus' language, and it's picked up by the rest of the New Testament authors. And one of the more consistent themes that just keep coming up over and over again is this big idea that we have to remember Jesus. Now, that may be the most simplistic statement you've ever heard in a sermon of any church ever at any time. Of course, duh. Yeah, we're going to remember Jesus, right? Maybe you'd argue that the church can't even possibly forget Jesus. He's too important. He's a really, really big deal. What a simplistic, small, little idea to lay out that we would have to remember Jesus. But sometimes people forget. And forgetting leads to sin. Bad things happen when people forget. The early church leaders, they knew this intuitively. So you have this guy named Paul. He's a church planner. He's a key theological leader of the early church. And he writes a letter to this young guy named Timothy who's trying to lead a church. And he tells Timothy to remember Jesus. Paul, great leader, great theologian, great thinker, big time mind, leader for the first church, says something so seemingly simplistic. It's a big, big deal to Paul. Remember Jesus. And it seems obvious, but you know that it isn't. How often do we go through life forgetting Jesus' impact on our daily life? And notice this, Paul doesn't just say, remember Jesus. He says, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, which is absolutely core to everything that we believe and everything that we do. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then everything that we do in this space is a waste of our time. But if Jesus did raise from the dead, then every moment we spend not in that reality, not in that remembering, is a waste of our time. Because a resurrection changes history, and it changes our present, and it changes our future. Paul even takes it further. He says, remember Jesus, the descendant of David. Now, that's significant to Jewish people that he's writing to. But listen, this is a bigger idea than just this idea that Jesus was Jewish and from David. He's telling Timothy that this wasn't a mistake, that this was on purpose, that this Jesus guy who showed up, it was intentional. It was planned from the beginning, that God had promised some guy named Abraham 2,000 years before this that something like this was going to happen. And so Jesus showed up where he did, in the family he did, when he did, on purpose. You need to remember that Jesus. And Paul calls this his gospel. Remembering Jesus is foundational. It's participating in the gospel and the good news. But sometimes churches forget. Sometimes we forget Jesus. In fact, I bet you know a church who forgot Jesus. And I bet that you can see that church isn't doing so well, if it even exists at all. Because forgetting leads to sin. Bad things happen when people forget. Paul isn't the only one who says this. Peter, another big dog leader of the first church, he writes something very similar about remembering. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he says, I will always remind you of these things. I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them. Even though you're firmly established in the truth that you now have. He says, I don't care that you already know these things. I'm going to keep on reminding you. And so what are these things that he's going to just keep reminding us of? Well, if you go back just a little bit, verse 5, he says, for these very reasons, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, knowledge of self-control, to perseverance, to godliness, to mutual affection, to love. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. We're supposed to remember Jesus and remember the things that he taught us. And Peter suggests that not making every effort to live in that way is the same as forgetting what Jesus has done for you. Surely no one would ever forget the incredible grace and mercy that we've received from our God. Surely no one would ever forget this incredible sacrifice of what Jesus has done. But sometimes people forget. And according to Peter, forgetting looks like being blind. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. Forgetting leads to sin, and bad things happen when people forget. So, church, we need some wedding rings. We need some keychains. We need something that will serve as a reminder so that we don't forget. And to our benefit, Jesus himself gave us two really significant reminders. The first one is baptism. Baptism is a powerful reminder. And of all the things that Jesus commands, it's the only thing that he teaches or commands that we are expected to do one time. Baptism isn't something that we have to do over and over again. It's a one-time expectation. There's something significant in that, because your baptism is kind of like that marker in history. It's that moment in time. It's something that you can look back on over your life, and you can look at that exact point in time. You can remember that decision that you made, and you can remember the key moment in your life that brought you to that point. It's almost like planting a flag or placing a stake in the ground. You can look back and you can say, this is when I got serious about Jesus. Baptism is a powerful reminder, a powerful marker in the history of your life to be able to tie you directly to what God has done for you. But that's not the only one. The second thing Jesus gives us is the Lord's Supper. It comes from Luke chapter 22, and you've got to recognize the power of this scene. Jesus is sitting at the table with his disciples. It's the last night of his life. They're sharing the Passover meal. It's part of that festival celebration that God commanded in the Old Testament that we mentioned earlier. These guys are together and they're actively remembering the past. They're remembering how God called them out of Egypt and the ways in which God had provided for them. And Jesus takes that moment and he twists it. He kind of turns it on its head. And it's like Jesus is saying, this moment in history, that's not what this is actually about. This moment isn't about that moment in history. In fact, that moment in history is about what's happening here in Jerusalem right now as he's with his disciples. That moment that happened thousands of years ago has relevance for us in this very specific moment right now because God's doing a new thing. And in the same way in which there was a sacrifice that took place, a Passover to care for the people and an incredible provision in leading them out of Egypt, in the same way, God's going to do that again right now. But you're not going to need the blood of a lamb painted on your doorposts. Jesus is telling them, you're going to need me. And he says, so when you sit down together in the future, and you share a meal, you pass bread and you pass the wine, he said, you need to remember. Is because this is my body that's given for you. And this is my blood that's poured out for you. And you do those things in remembrance of me. Now, communion is a little bit different than baptism. It's not a one-time act like we see with baptism. It's something that we do all the time, every time that we're together, so that Jesus can be front and center in all the things that we do. And so we remember. Jesus is with his disciples in this scene. It's a huge moment in history. It's even a transition moment, kind of like that Moses and Joshua stuff we talked about earlier. The disciples don't know that this is a transition moment, but it is. Jesus is getting ready to hand the keys of this movement over to his disciples, and these are some of his very last words to them, and he tells them to remember. These guys who spent 3 years with Jesus, who learned from him and who watched him perform miracles, who were called out by him and who were also encouraged by him and loved by Jesus. How could they ever possibly forget this powerful experience? These men, within hours, are going to watch Jesus get publicly executed on a cross. How in the world could they ever forget that? 3 days later, they'd see him alive again, resurrected outside of the tomb in which he was buried. How could they ever possibly forget? Sometimes people forget. In fact, these disciples kind of had their own moments of forgetfulness for a time. When Jesus dies, they didn't remember most of these things that Jesus had said because it didn't make sense to them. Almost none of it really made sense to them until after the resurrection, and that's when they remembered. Guys, don't forget, because forgetting leads to sin, and bad things happen when people forget. If you'd really like to know what the future of Cap City looks like, I don't know. I'm not sure. But I do know unequivocally that one thing we will never forget is Jesus. Every week, on the first day, we will come into a space together where we will worship regularly. And it's powerful when we do that because it causes us to recenter on Jesus. And if we don't, we drift. In fact, that's what Doc talked about last week, the danger of forgetting. He talked about how we will attend faithfully. Because when we attend faithfully, we're setting a model of a life that revolves around Jesus, a life that revolves around God. And when we get together, we're going to remember Jesus crucified and resurrected because we can't risk forgetting Jesus. Too important. And so we're going to take these sacraments every week. We're going to take the body and the blood as reminders because we can't risk forgetting. Now, maybe you need more than that. I need more than that because there's a lot of days between Sundays. And so maybe you need a keychain for your drive around town. If you need one, grab one on your way out. One of the reasons that we challenge you to read your Bible every day is that you would live in the constant reminder of Jesus' presence in your life. It's not the biggest reason you should read your Bible every day, but it is a very big reason. And so it's why we have different plans and different settings for you to be able to read even within a community here at this church. If you want more information on that, we have some of those plans in our Welcome Center as well. Grab one when you're grabbing your keychain. If you want more, we have it on our website as well. It's one of the reasons that many people even pray before each meal. It's a desire to live in a constant reminder that as often as we remember that we have hunger and we need to eat, we also want to remember that we are so very blessed by our God, that he's met all of our needs. Maybe your house looks a little bit like my house. It's kind of littered with wall art and scripture in different places. Maybe you need that. Maybe this week you need to go home, just write the name Jesus on the mirror in your bathroom, maybe with lipstick or something, I don't know. That while you're getting ready, you see his name and you remember some of the importance of who he is in your life. Maybe you need to print some scripture references every week and you put them up on your mirrors and put them around your house, ways for you to memorize his word so that you can live in a consistent and a constant remembering of Jesus. Because guys, if we don't work to remember, you're going to naturally forget. And when we forget, it leads us to sin. And so don't forget, because bad things happen when people forget. We want to remember a God who forgives. We want to remember a God who takes the first step. And the best way for you to know what God's going to be doing in your life, whether that's right now or off into the future, because the best way for you to know about the future is not by guessing as to what might happen. We're not trying to crack some sort of a code as to what it is that God's up to or what he's doing. The best way for us to know what God will do in the future is by looking backwards and what God has already done and remembering, because he is faithful. And he's consistent. And remembering helps us walk confidently into the future. And so let's practice some remembering. Let's remember a God who's not going to compromise on a love for us. And let's remember a God who's best proven his love for us through his work on a cross and outside of an empty tomb. And so in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to these tables around the room where we have that bread and that juice that functions as a way of remembering. I invite you to that. Here at Cap City, when we go to these stations, as part of our worship, we also give. And we participate in that. So if you're part of the Cap City family, you know that brown box exists for our offering. That's where we give our first parts back to him. Sometimes we feel so compelled by the work that God has done in us and the ways in which he's brought grace and truth into our lives that we want to give even more. And so it takes us to these white boxes around each of the tables, a place what we call our generous bucket, where all of that, 100% of that just goes to meeting needs of people in this church and people around this community. I want to invite you to a time of remembering, that we would do this in remembrance of Jesus, because of regardless of whatever else is happening in the life of this church, Jesus is center. He's the king, he's the lead, and we're all working to remember him. Let's go to the tables.